This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Paul Morrow is back with us this afternoon. Fox News contributor. Of course, he founded the opsdesk.org, and I believe he is headed to a Trump rally to assess security as we speak. Paul, how are you this afternoon?
I'm very good, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. So you are, though, heading to Long Island right now, aren't you? That's what I'm told.
I am indeed, yeah, heading out to the Trump rally at the National Coliseum.
So what is your assessment of what happened on Sunday? It's interesting, Paul, to me, because, look, I think the way I look at it right now is it seems like the Secret Service did its job given the circumstances. But are there reasons to kind of fault them in this situation as well or not?
I mean, the entire thing appears to be a complete breakdown. And, you know, all roads at the end of the day lead to Alejandro Mayorkas. And I think that, you know, we all are having the same conversation about how this could have happened twice and et cetera. But at the end of the day, we still have not heard from the guy who's responsible. And I just don't understand how in a hierarchical organization at some point somebody just doesn't say, get the top guy in here and ask him how this can continually happen.
Right.
To the guy who is the odds-on favorite for the next president. I just don't understand that, and that's really where this needs to terminate. And now you even have the Dems turning against him with Blumenthal coming out and saying that he's very frustrated, and I really do feel like at the end of the day here, he really is the person that has to be put on point, and he has to feel the threat of impeachment. Now, look, you know, we only got a couple of months here until the whole administration is lame duck, but I'm really very, very frustrated, just as the senator is, that we've never really gotten any answers. And, you know, the first investigation really could have gotten at least this: pull out the operational plan and show us who was supposed to be on that roof. That one piece would have probably tamped things down, but they're just so reflexively secretive that we can't even get that, and as a result, the conspiracy theories grow.
Yep. That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. Well, you're going to kind of be interested, I guess, going to this rally. This is an indoor rally tonight on Long Island, Paul?
It is, yeah. Yeah, in an arena.
So, you know, the questions that have come up, though, about the amount of agents, et cetera, I think you can understand that President Trump's a former president, he's a candidate, but at the same time, it's just sort of common sense to say, okay, we've got a lot of threats against the former president. It seems to be ramping up. Maybe we need more security. Now, we were told by the new director that that has, in fact, happened. But it does seem, the other thing we heard this week is that they're down, what is it, 950 agents or something like that.
They are. And according to my sourcing and the reporting, they also have an inordinate number of people doing investigations. And while the Secret Service has always had the remit of doing counterfeit, they are really not tasked with that as their primary mission. Their primary mission is executive protection, period, end of story. And that's what's gone south here. And I don't understand also why there isn't that isn't part of the assessment here.
Yeah.
And that really should be. I mean, that should be part of, look, how many people do we have doing the work that we're supposed to be doing? How many people are not? And why is it, you know, so bifurcated?
Well, your question about Mayorkas is interesting because that guy, you know, there was the effort to impeach him, which he should have been tossed out, the culpability that he has on so many different fronts right now. And we see him less than we do Joe Biden, which is kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, he hides, and it's all roads lead to him. I mean, not only on the service, but on the border and a host of other things, including things like the fact that we have all these people on a terrorist watch list coming in. Sure, there's overlap You have the FBI, you have other people, et cetera. But really, at the end of the day, this is a domestic security thing. This is him. And this is a guy who just has not taken ownership of anything. And what it really comes down to is that we don't have a president. Because the person who should really be saying, okay, look, get in here, I want answers, I want to report tomorrow, get a crew, get a task force set up, et cetera, is the president. And the president just is MIA. I don't know what he does all day and where he is. And I know bureaucracies enough to know that when the top guy is MIA, the whole thing falls apart. And, you know, when you say to yourself, okay, if he's gone, who's supposed to step in? Well, that's Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And
yikes.
If this is the job performance that we're supposed to be basing our vote on in November, you got to have, serious pause about who you pull the lever for.
Paul Morrow is back with us from Fox News. Also, he is the founder of the opsdesk.org. I want to talk about the website. You have a couple of cool things on the website where you have on each side, on the left side, you have a campus crime update. On the right side, you have the border disaster. And you guys go on the border disaster, just to give the listeners an example. You kind of highlight some of the things that are happening almost in real time, where you go back to, I guess you go back further, but the full list, you have to press full list. But let's just go back to August 14th. Illegal Nicaraguan arrested, knife point rape on Coney Island. September 16th. By the way, there's a bunch of others that happened on September 14th. September 16th, more than 100 suspected gangbangers rushed the border. So you're kind of in real time blogging about both of these campus crime situations and the border, Paul.
Yeah, so I'm trying to track this stuff that nobody tracks. And, you know, at the end of the day, what ended up happening is that we're going to realize that there was nobody that was kind of putting all these things together in one place so that the various police agencies could try to synchronize their efforts, because very clearly the feds have decided they're not going to do it. And I've advocated on the website something called JAM teams, which is Joint Anti-Migrant Crime Teams, very much like the JTTFs, because you got to remember, this is an international problem. You need not only the state and locals, but you need the reach of the feds at the border and overseas, so you can try to track some of these gangs coming in who are establishing themselves, Tren de Aragua, etc. And feds are just interested. And so there's no clearinghouse, and you need a clearinghouse. And so ultimately it occurred to me, well, you know what, why not me? The problem is, of course, is I'm just, you know, one guy with some helpers. And, you know, it's growing, actually, and so that's why I'm even able to do what I do. But it really is just a God and country effort, because there's no synchronization. And without that, you're not going to make a dent. We're going to continue to see these stories, and that continued to be denied by, you know, our leaders, yeah, including, as I said, my office and the president.
Well, I love the feature. That was pretty cool. I hadn't noticed that before. If we were speaking 1 week ago today, I certainly would ask you about your reflections of 9/11. I still want to do that today, because I know that you wrote about this on the website, and it's, you know, never too late to talk about some of those things that happened on that day, Paul.
Yeah, so, you know, I was there. Obviously, I spent a lot of time there. I spent months afterwards. I was there day of, and I got there just after the second tower came down. And, you know, my standard line on that is the further we get away from 9/11, the closer we get to 9/10. And we all were very happy to say, never forget, never forget. But yet we almost instantaneously forgot. And we seem like we're not relearning the lessons that we should be relearning, that we never should have forgotten. And among those are things like, you know, the security at the border. I can tell you that's when I was doing counterterrorism for all those years. If somebody showed up on a set that is a, you know, series of people that you were interested in, maybe had informants or some sort of coverage, and this person had no border friction, this person wasn't identified, this person had no background, you couldn't figure out where they came from, et cetera, bells would go off like I can't even overstate. And when you consider we've essentially just let in 20 million of those, you can imagine what we're looking at in terms of the future. And I don't think we've seen the worst of it. I really don't. Irrespective of who wins the next election, I think we're going to be living with the repercussions of this, both in the espionage world, the counterterrorism world, the criminal world, all of that going forward, no matter what retroactive actions are attempted now with whoever is president. We've really put ourselves in it. And I think we're only seeing the beginning.
I have some great audio I'm going to share in the next segment from a congressional hearing today on the topic of immigration, which is, I think, some of it's rather stunning when you hear the sheriff from Arizona who completely almost ignores that there is an immigration problem. I don't know who he was hired by. But, Paul, I always appreciate your, you know, insight here on 97.1 FM Talk. And thank you so much. And enjoy the rally tonight.
I will do. And I appreciate it, Mark. You guys take care.